What is up, everybody? Super excited to share with you today my guest, Emily Riefel, Director of Social Events at the Plaza Hotel. She's going to share her story of how she started from answering the phones and working the front desk at the Waldorf Astoria to running some of the world's most exclusive wedding and social events. So without further ado, I bring you my dear friend and colleague, Emily Riefel. So it's totally an honor to have you here today. I know we've been friends slash coworkers now, probably like 13 years, for a very long time. So let's get right into it, right? I want to pick your brain. I feel like you have an amazing knowledge, because for people from around the world, everyone can kind of regard or widely regarded as the Plaza Hotel is the creme de la creme, right? I think there's a few hotels around the world for venues, for events. Number one, Plaza. Number two, you know, Breakers, in no specific order, but kind of globally, people look at these. So I think with that comes an immense responsibility that you have to deliver these events, right? And could you just expand on that a little bit?
So just so everyone kind of understands too, I run all the social events, meaning the fun parties. Mm-hmm. there's some other people on my team, and I have a boss too who oversee like the nonprofit galas and the corporate events, but my expertise is really in all the social events, meaning weddings, birthdays, bar and bat mitzvahs, anniversary parties. But yes, it is a tremendous responsibility because it is such an iconic property. And the hotel, I think, is really known for its celebrations. So, we always say in the business, there's no dress rehearsal. Every event has to be perfect and flawless, and it's somebody's special day, and it's a lot of work.
And how long have you been with the Plaza now?
11 years.
Okay. So, and we've grown younger every year, right?
Exactly.
So I think for people out there, let's start off with, if you're, let's say, early 20s, right out of college, maybe you have a hospitality degree, and you aspire to work in the hospitality industry, and you want to get in with the best, right? What's the road look like for someone to become the next Emily, right? So talking to a 22-year-old out there in the universe right now, how do they become you?
Well,
there's no you, but...
Oh my God. You don't want to be me. No, I'm just kidding. I always tell people that like really getting in from like the ground up and putting in those years of like really working, long hours and kind of, weekends and all of that is kind of the way to go. My path, I think, is a little untraditional. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you know this, but I started working at the front desk at the Waldorf Astoria, mm-hmm. Which I tell people was the best training. You know, at the front desk, you're kind of on the front line with all these guests, and being at the Waldorf Astoria where there were 1600 or 1400 rooms, you're talking to so many people about their, guest experience at the hotel. And that was really helpful for me, I think, with learning how to sell and just like learning how to just, understand and work with people on a daily basis. So I think, just getting any kind of experience in hospitality is really important. Maybe like the way that I sort of got into weddings was I actually worked a couple weddings as like a hostess
at the Waldorf.
Yep. And which hostess is really a fancy term for like a human arrow. So I was really standing there directing all of these guests, just making sure that they knew where to go. But I learned so much from doing that. And I also learned that it was something that I was ultimately going to be very passionate about, just the wedding business in general. And, one thing led to another. And somehow now I'm running all the weddings at the Plaza.
So, and I think it's interesting what you point out, because I think I think I talk about this a lot on this show, is that people only see the finished version.
Right.
So they see the diamond. They don't see how that diamond got formed.
Right.
And obviously over the course of 15 years, I like to use the word, you ate some shit, right? Working at the front desk at any hotel, especially high-end ones.
Yep.
People are only typically there to complain or say something but with that comes the practice of dealing with people, mm-hmm. right? And you can't just walk into the Plaza and say, hey, I'm going to run, multi-million dollar social events for you guys. Hey, I'm Emily. You're giving me the job. It doesn't work that way. There's got to be the trajectory upwards.
Exactly.
And for most of us, it starts at the bottom, whether it's an internship or doing something that we might not necessarily love.
Exactly. I mean, my next step was I was actually a receptionist for the sales office, and that was something that was really difficult, you know, like it, I mean, it was just like you're answering the phone all day long, but it also put me kind of in the spotlight to be around the people that I eventually like wanted to become. Mm-hmm. So I was around great mentors, great teachers, and they taught me so much. And, you know, as I kind of like moved up the ranks, like I had a lot of, I don't know, just like great people that were kind of able to help guide me.
So now we have this finished version, Emily, right? Running all these events at the Plaza. Yeah.
She's not finished though.
So I always think it's interesting because at places like that, there's an inherent responsibility. When the client comes in, they're expecting nothing but excellence.
Right.
From every moment, from the moment they're greeted at the door to the moment they walk out. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, I would probably say they never really walk out. They probably become an extended family and multiple generational events, birthday parties, et cetera.
Absolutely.
What would you say is your biggest hurdle or obstacle in meeting clients' expectations? But I also think you can't just meet them. You need to exceed them every single time.
I think just for us, like the sheer volume of like work that we're doing is sometimes like really hard to manage. So, you know, especially with the weddings, it's somebody's like personal, like biggest day of their life. And they want your attention all the time. And it's hard to, how do you tell somebody who's getting married, you know, next year that you can't really talk to them right now because you have six brides in May and they need your attention too.
Well, they haven't grasped the fact that the world doesn't necessarily revolve around.
Right. Yeah, and it's sometimes like really hard to like, you know, juggle and manage all of that. And so I kind of had to learn that it's okay to tell a client, hey, I'm here, I'm still paying attention, but you know, I need a day or two to get back to you on whatever it is that they're looking for, but just being able to give them the attention to know that, you know, yes, you're still around. You haven't forgotten about them. You know, I think is really important.
And how do you think, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, in your position, you probably deal with some unrealistic expectations too, where people have, you know, we hear it here, where it's crazy ideas sometimes, and I'm sure you get those as well.
Definitely. I think sometimes people, you know, they come in and they think because they're at the Plaza Hotel and they are spending a large sum of money that sometimes they still, for whatever reason, like don't want to pay for other things. And it's funny. It's like just something as simple as like putting gift bags in hotel rooms turns into, you know, something that eats up a lot of time trying to explain to them that there is a $5 bag delivery fee. And it's not because it's just the Plaza Hotel. It's at any hotel.
Sure.
And you're kind of like educating these people who may have never done an event before that there are, you know, other costs and, you know, things that are associated with this wedding that you need to take care of.
I think the interesting thing too is for people around the country who aren't necessarily familiar with the way New York hotel business works, mm-hmm. is we have to deal with unions here.
Yes.
So people think that it's as simple as saying that guy over there here just dropped these 50 bags off, whereas it's really not, because the hotel unions are involved, and it may or may not be in their contract to actually touch those bags. And if they do touch those bags, there could be an inherent fee from the union back to you as the event company. People don't necessarily grasp how expensive those fees can be.
Yeah, it's, and you have to, you know, not be afraid to educate them on that in the nicest way possible. So going back to that front desk, that's where that front desk experience really helps.
Yeah, which is when people go, why is the service charge so expensive for them to bring the food? It's because only a union laborer can actually touch my room service from the second it leaves the kitchen up to the room. Hence, and he's making, believe it or not, people don't realize, once you're in the hotel union, you don't ever leave because typically you're doing really well financially for that union.
So
tell me, I know you deal with some crazy parties, right? So craziest thing you've seen at the Plaza so far to date in 11 years.
So I always love to tell this story. We had a client who wanted to potentially host an event in Rockefeller Center on the ice rink, which it didn't work out for whatever reason. We got it at the Plaza and it was a repeat client for me. So I was very excited to welcome them back. But we had to recreate the ice rink at Rock Center in the middle of the Plaza Hotel ballroom.
God bless discretionary income.
It was insane.
Did it?
And we did an ice rink. So when the guests came into the ballroom, there were these live ice skaters that were on the ice rink in the center. And then magically, and I still don't really understand how it all worked out, but it did. It turned into a dance floor later.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Interesting. All right. Because I was going to say, as a guest, I can't ice skate. So I was wondering.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be petrified.
Yes.
Right now, directing events, Plaza, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? How do you see that role evolving? I know you love what you do. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I just want to keep, just doing like amazing parties and, you know, really like, I guess building my network even more so that, you know, people know that they want to come and they want to, you know, work with me and my team, to come and do like just really over the top amazing events. And something I'm seeing like this year for whatever reason is more and more people are hiring like headliner entertainment, which is really exciting. So it's always fun to have a party when you get, you know, a big name artist to come in. And so
when Justin Bieber's performing.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I'd like more of those events, you know, something that's like really over the top and really different.
What are you seeing now? And I think, you know, as we grow a little older, which we don't want to admit, right? But we're probably close in age. We're both 21, right?
Yeah.
As we deal with the next generation coming up, right? We'll say millennials or Gen Y. Where are you seeing some of those obstacles in your business? I know we've seen some here, just in terms of that interaction is being very different than it was, let's say, 5 years ago with a client.
Oh my gosh. Well, Instagram has changed everything. Yeah. And you know, sometimes people see things on Instagram that they want something to do with food that they want at their party. And it's so difficult to execute. And it might be even harder to execute with my union situation.
And also executing that for a plate of food at a restaurant, which is done for one versus for 400 people.
Correct. It's really hard. So just trying to manage, you know, those expectations but yet still trying to stay on top of the trends is, you know, getting a little harder and harder. And I was telling somebody this recently, it's interesting. I'm, you know, an iconic venue in New York City, and I used to compete with other venues in New York City. Now I feel like I'm competing with the rest of the world because destination weddings are like so huge. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, it's kind of a challenge. Like, how can I find those young brides and grooms that don't live in New York City that they could come and make New York their destination?
It's totally viable in a place like the Plaza, and where you can in-house a weekend.
Exactly. And like really create, you know, an amazing, you know, experience in New York City. But, you know, how do you network and go find those people and make them realize that New York can be just as cool as St. Bart's?
So how are you doing that? That's the-
How am I doing that? Well, you know me.
Yeah, I know you're traveling all over the world.
The second I don't have a wedding on a weekend, boom, out.
Engage.
What? Going to engage?
Yep.
I've been once. Okay. It was an amazing experience for me. I would love to go again. I think what's kind of funny for me is that it's hard for me to get away sometimes during those times because I get really busy. So
taking 5 days in June at the height of the wedding season for us in New York. I think for people in South Florida, it's a lot easier because they're dead. Whereas I'm trying to go this year and balancing.
It's hard.
It's
and it
really
goes
rough.
Back to what I was saying before. Like, you know, your clients don't want you to be away for 3 days in June. It's like it would be really difficult. Yeah. So yeah, maybe another year, but this one not happening.
Sitting this one up. So trying to bring the Plaza into a destination, so it's not just looked at for New York.
For New York, right? Exactly. So I mean, it's interesting. Like I was talking to a client who was looking at the Plaza and she was looking at something in Venice, Italy, you know, or like the Plaza and the Breakers, like you were saying, like we definitely, you know,
I feel like those two would be mirrored venues in that sense.
And, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to say, oh yeah, do your wedding in the middle of New York versus like, you know, doing it where there's this gorgeous beach and, you know, views of the ocean everything. Sure. So convincing them that the history and the tradition and the beauty of the Plaza is like, you know, not comparable to anything else.
And in terms of, we were just talking about how you're up against Instagram, and we see that here too, right? So I'll have people, I had a photographer on the other day, we were talking about sunsetting on the East Coast, but you know, the sunsets in the West, obviously, but brides are like, but I want the sunset, but my venue is facing East. I'm like, well, that's great. The sunset's on the other side. You know, it's just, that's, you should have gotten married on the West Coast. I don't know what to tell you, just how it goes.
Right.
Or they'll be in the East side of New York, but they want the West sunset. I'm like, well, then you need to be on the Hudson River, not the East River, you know, just those kind of things, right? But they see it on Instagram.
Yeah, there's an easy fix for that. Pay for the other photo shoot. Do another photo shoot. That's it. So, just spend the money. Do it.
One thing I've seen, and I think it's inherently a huge issue that we're all facing right now, is that clients come in and they'll bring something in on Instagram. And they don't realize how much it costs.
Right.
So, you know, what you were just saying is they may come in with this cake, right? And we know Ron Ben Israel does these amazing cakes. And they go to Ron, let's say, and they say, show him this 15-foot cake. And they go, but, you know, I only want to spend $1,000. And it's just not...
It's not possible.
It's not possible. And that's what I've seen on my end of the industry is just unrealistic expectations, but unrealistic costs. Like people just don't realize how much some of this stuff costs.
Right.
And I would assume you guys are faced with some of that as well.
Someone comes in and goes,
I want this plate of food. And you go, okay, well, it's going to be an extra $40 per person. And they look at you like you have three heads.
Right. No, it's hard because like I said before, you know, these are people that are coming and they've never done this before. So it's hard for them to, you know, be educated on all of that. But I think, you know, as wedding professionals, I think it's important for us to kind of all have a general idea of like what things do cost.
Sure.
So hopefully I know what your costs look like.
Absolutely.
And hopefully you know what my costs look like. And if a client, you know, mentions something to you or mentions something to me or mentions something to another vendor that they're working with, you know, we're all a team for them. And if we can communicate it like on the same page to them, then they trust us and hopefully they'll sign up for it.
How do you, from your perspective, how do you go about overcoming some of these obstacles? So client comes in, they have these obstacles, they want these things. How do you...
I think it just comes down to like really like building the relationship with the client, like up front. I think that, you know, from the time that they come in, like I really try to get a good sense of, you know, who are these people? Where do they come from? What are their, you know, what do they like? What do they care about? What are the priorities in the wedding? So that, you know, you want them to trust you from day one, because then ultimately they'll listen to you throughout the whole process. But that trust piece is just really important.
And then I think another thing that you deal with, which a lot of venues don't nationwide, is if I had to guess, I'm going to say 95% of the brides who walk in at some point are bringing a wedding planner, whether the wedding planner is coming in at first or they're bringing them in. Whereas a lot of other venues, I don't think the numbers would be nearly as high if you looked at it, you know, as you are. So in essence, you're dealing with two clients simultaneously.
Right.
And many times probably three or four, because you could have for a wedding at least two wealthy families joining, both contributing to the event. So now you have two mothers, a bride, and a wedding planner thrown into that mix. And sometimes
the
groom cares, which makes it even worse, right?
Right.
But to the core of the question is, I think you're not just balancing one relationship or one set of emails. You're getting emailed and many times from multiple people. And at least what I've experienced is we're getting multiple, like we just did a rehearsal dinner and we show up and there's another professional photographer there. And he's like, oh, I'm the photographer to shoot the rehearsal dinner. I'm like, oh, I'm shooting that wedding tomorrow. So I go to the mom. I'm like, hey, you know, your daughter hired us to shoot the rehearsal dinner. She goes, no, I hired another photographer. I'm like, did you guys ever coordinate that?
Oh, no.
She goes, no, I never spoke to her about it. I just hired someone. I'm like, well, she hired us too. It was totally awkward, but
oh,
I'm like,
my
do you guys really like that? I was like, come on, you gotta be, come on, guys.
Yeah.
You know, like some conversation in there at some point, it worked out fine, but how do you balance all that coordination?
It's hard. I mean, I'm very lucky that I have, you know, a full-time coordinator that works with me, who can kind of, you know, navigate through some of the details and, you know, that luckily we have such a good relationship that she can kind of, you know, raise her hand and say, hey, Emily, this something doesn't seem right. But I spent so much time like very early in my career, like really building the relationships with those planners so that now when we work together, like it's kind of just second nature on how, you know, an event at the Plaza is going to run, where, you know, they come in, they feel like they're at home. They kind of know how I operate, how my team operates. So just, you know, really getting to know those people is so helpful.
Setting boundaries up front.
Definitely. Always.
Parameters.
Yes.
Yep. And then just getting back to what you mentioned before, where you're working at the front desk at the Waldorf, just to segue back to that, because I think it's really important. I think there's some really like amazing knowledge there. So that 22-year-old, right? I think a lot of the times, and I don't want to bash younger generations, but I do think that there is factually a different sense of work ethic and entitlement with this younger generation, at least from what we see here when we interview and from when I speak to other industry professionals. They may want to come in as Emily.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. It's funny. I was just having a conversation with somebody who's like, well, you know, I want to work with you. And I said, well, that's great. But like, you have to learn the basics.
Sure.
And I definitely, you know, remind them too, that there's, you know, there's so many different opportunities within hospitality. And, you know, sometimes you think that you want to be one thing, but there's so many other opportunities that could be just as interesting or just as exciting, or you might be better suited for a different you know, a different job within the events industry. So you just have to like dive in and kind of, you know, do the work and kind of figure it out from there.
And I also think, you know, in setting perspectives, for people who may be listening to this who are 22 years old, there's really only three or four of you in the entire Manhattan. So when you think about it in terms of scale, when people go, I want to do that, you're talking about like being Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. No, I mean, but in all seriousness, and it's kudos to you that you've risen to that, because there's really only three or four banquet manager positions at that highest level. Yeah. You know, and I think of the names that come off the top of my head. It's like Deborah Cipriani's,
yep.
Bill Spinner at the PA. Like, mm-hmm. There's so few.
And we all like are pretty, we're kind of in it for the long haul.
And they've all been doing it for a really long time.
Exactly. So, you know, I've seen too where people have come in and they've learned, you know, from us, you know, at the coordinator level, and then they leave and they go to another hotel, and it might not be, you know, as grand as the Plaza, but just going and kind of, you know, finding their own way is really, you know, the best path for them. And then eventually they might end up back at the Plaza, but, you know, going out and having that experience and maybe a hotel that's not, you know, as luxurious is perfectly fine as well.
Yeah. I mean, for people, I think, you know, people think that, oh, if I start at the Hampton Inn, well, that's your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you start at the Hampton Inn, well, that's a Hilton property and they own thousands and thousands of hotels worldwide.
Exactly.
So maybe you start there for a year.
Right.
But then that parlays yourself to a job working at the Hilton in Paris.
You never know.
And doing events or, you know, whatever it may be. There's always a way around. But I think people also need to be kind of conscious, respectful, and go into it saying, you know, to get there is going to take a lot of work,
right.
But it also might not be there physically at the Plaza, because I'm willing to guess if we have the same conversation 20 years from now, you'll still be at the Plaza. You know, like
hopefully
knock on wood.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, will they be foolish to not have you there? So.
I mean, oh my gosh, it's exhausting. Like it's like really hard work. Like it's a lot of, you know, nights and weekends. I mean, you know, you do it too.
But you've become synonymous. So it's funny. And to praise you a little bit is you've become synonymous. When people say I'm having my wedding at the Plaza, it's always with Emily. You know, it's Plaza with Emily. And I think you can have a great hotel, but you also need the personality behind that hotel. And that's the beautiful part, is when you find that marriage of those two things and you have that property, but you also have the personality behind it who can deliver and meet those clients' expectations, because you can put a lot of people in that role and they would burn.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's stressing me out just thinking about all of that right now.
I would have offered you alcohol. It's early in the morning. It's Monday.
That means a lot to me. And it, you know, thank you for saying that. And you know, I've had some great people to learn from along the way. And you pick up the phone and call sometimes when you have something that's like really difficult. Like I'm very close with like Gary from the St. Regis, for example.
Sure.
You know, like if I need advice or something, I could pick up the phone and, you know, give Gary a call. Or I know, you know, Deborah from Cipriani, and it's nice that we are competitors in a way, but we're also like industry professionals that, you know,
and you never
can
know
help
when
each other
need
out
each
too.
Other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, things happen and, you know,
absolutely.
You never know.
Yep, absolutely.
So I want to be totally respectful of your time. I know how busy you are, and I know
it's
May, and I appreciate you coming here and doing this. So question I ask every one of my guests, what would you give, best piece of advice you would give to yourself 15 years ago that you wish you would have done if you knew you would change your life
that's
that impactful?
Good question. Get more sleep.
Well said.
That's it.
Just get more sleep.
Get more sleep.
Okay.
Because this business will like, you know, really like wear you out. So yeah. Just get more sleep.
Yeah. And I think for people who are on the outside of the business, they have a hard time understanding what you just said. And I can relate to that because, you know, 40 Saturday nights ending at 3:30 in the morning, you know, and then a lot of the times I know at your hotel, they don't leave the next morning. They're 9 a.m. brunches.
Right. Yeah. 100%. And it kind of comes down to like, you know, also don't be afraid to kind of take time to rest.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of my like biggest thing. Like, it's okay to rest, and it's okay to tell the client, like, you know, hey, I'm out of the office today. I will get back to you tomorrow. Like, it's okay. But like setting that expectation up front, I think is really important too.
Awesome. And then in terms of 5 years, is it fair to say 5-year vision is really bringing the Plaza to more of a destination?
Yeah, venue? I think so. I would love to, have, you know, a, like international couples that would, you know, come from maybe, you know, outside of the United States, sure, to come and, you know, host celebrations there that are, you know, a little more like untraditional than just a beautiful, glamorous black tie wedding, sure, from a couple from New York. So like bringing in some other cultures and traditions, I think would be really exciting.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. Thanks. It was awesome. And I appreciate you giving the time to talk to me. And as always,
I adore you.
You're a gem and a good friend.
Let's do more parties together.
Of course. So I just want to thank you. Tell people where they can find you on social. If somebody wants to reach out, also if, you know, you're young in the industry and dream is to work at the Plaza, how do they do that?
So do you want me to just say my
I wouldn't give out your personal phone number.
You can always call the hotel directly and just, sure, ask to speak to Emily Rifle. And most of the time I pick up my own phone so that you can get to me pretty easily. And then my personal Instagram is Emily Rifle, the number 3.
Okay.
But then the Plaza events Instagram is at Plaza Parties.
Okay.
So we post, you know, just a ton of photos from all the different events that, you know, we're working on.
Okay. And if somebody wants to get let's say they want to get just an internship over the summer at the Plaza, who do they reach out to for that?
They can certainly reach out to me and then I can pass that along to our human resources department. And yeah, we love our interns.
Cool.
And they always have great, you know, great experiences. We've actually hired a few interns that have been part of our team and we've watched them grow to, you know, bigger and better things and start their careers. And it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here. We'll also include Emily's links in our show notes. And thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening in. You can find us online at AnthonyVasquezWorkshops.com, as well as on social, on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube at Anthony Vasquez Workshops. We look forward to seeing you there.